Good. Okay, we are alive and well. Woo! Friday Night Feels. It's all like, oh my God, every time I get this strange message. So welcome everyone. For those of you who've never joined, I am licensed mental health counselor, Patrick Manette. I am in private practice in New York, and this is Friday Night Feels. And actually, this is a pretty special show for numerous reasons, but we didn't have a show last week because we do it every 2 weeks, but last week was actually the year anniversary of Friday Night Feels. So yay! Just happy, you know, just a happy anniversary. And, you know, thank you to all of my amazing guests, past and present and future. Tonight we have an amazing guest with us, which I can't wait to introduce. And, you know, Friday Night Feels started, you know, when the pandemic took over, and it was just a way to connect and to talk about services and resources out there with affecting everyone, you know, with the pandemic. And it's turned into this amazing adventure. It's a podcast now that you can find on Spotify. And it's allowed me to connect with people from all over the world who are doing amazing revolutionary businesses and ways to help people in all these different ways. And tonight, I have an amazing woman who is an original New Yorker, but now lives on the other side of the country, Sammy Beatrice.
Hello, hello. I'm super, super excited to be here.
Yay, I'm so excited. And I'm not going to do it justice because we were just chatting before we got here. So one of the things that I put on the flyer was her podcast, which is a Fashion Your Passion podcast. So we're going to be talking about that. But that's only one of her amazing businesses. So what are some of the other ones? So first of all, welcome, Sammy. You know, now you're part of the Friday Night Feels family.
Yay.
So tell us a little bit, you know, you and I have connected. So you are the CEO of a company, you are doing your own amazing podcast, you said since high school, which just blows my mind, and you're in college on all yes. top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So before we started, I'd asked Sam, I go, have you slept at all? She goes, nope. So tell me about yourself, like all these amazing businesses and all of these ways to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really funny every time like I get introduced on like a podcast or something like that, it's like, you know, they go through like everything that I do currently. And it's like, it blows my mind because honestly, like, I'm not even 20 yet, you know, and I'm doing all these things. And it's like, my friend last night, she's like, Sammy, she's like, what are you doing? Like, you're literally not even 20 yet. And you have like, so many things going on. She's like, can you just take a break already? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I was like,
we're just getting started.
I'm just gonna go after it. Yeah. And so, you know, about a year and a half ago, I started a social media agency for entrepreneurs and for podcasters to really help them sort of save time in their day and allow them to focus on their own craft. And so that is the Your Passion Agency, which I currently run, and I have the most amazing, amazing team ever. It is just so beautiful just to have like-minded people to come together every week and just chit-chat about, you know, our clients and what we're loving about our work. And the podcast started about 2.5 years ago in my public speaking classroom. My teacher was like, hey, I think you should start a podcast. I think you'd be really good at inspiring and motivating others. And I was like, you know what? I think you're kind of right. Let's do it. Let's go after it. And the next day I walked into her classroom. I showed her this janky logo I had for it. It was so, so cringeworthy. And she was like, I love it. She's like, go for it. And I created an Instagram account that day and we just went with it.
Oh my God.
You know, and I knew that I never wanted to stop that, no matter where I was or what I was doing. I was always going to run the podcast. And so when I got into college, that was sort of my main focus of sorts. And I went from coming into college as a Jewish studies major to moving to being a communications major to now being a combination of a counseling, marketing, and social media major.
Ooh.
It's super, super amazing. amazing just to be able to do all of them at the same time. And I mean, there are also just so many things in the works that I'm super excited about, but for now, that's sort of what I do right now. And yeah, I mean, this journey has been crazy, but no matter what happens, like, I'm always just so grateful for how I've gotten to this point.
That's incredible. You know, before Sammy and I were just chatting tonight about, you know, I mean, she's an expert in podcasting and I'm just this novice, but we, you know, she's been doing it for years and I've, you know, been doing it, you know, less than a year about for the podcast itself of, you hear about it, but it's this amazing community of people from all over the world who network and chat and have all these different specialties and experiences and books and projects. And it's almost as if you get this special invitation to this magical world of all of these people. It's like, I need to do more episodes because there are just so many cool people. And I'm sure you feel the same way of like, you meet one and then it just blossoms and it's like popcorn. You just keep getting all these people. And then you develop like these friendships and these connections of, you know, just this incredible network. And especially during, you know, with COVID, when everything's so limited, it helped my emotional well-being and my mental health to reach out, you know, because that social bug part of me, I couldn't go to conferences, I couldn't travel. But to be able to, you know, like right now I'm chatting with this amazing person in California, you know, like it's awesome. Creating an amazing future.
Yeah. And I think for me, honestly, like podcasting, like it got me my first college internship. It you know, allowed me to have business partners from around the country. I've had guests on from like New Zealand and, you know, the United Kingdom and just like crazy places. And I was like, wow, like, I was like, I never thought I'd meet a person from there. You know, and it's honestly like the day that I created all the things for it, I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. I had just planned to make episodes with like my teachers and my friends, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to college, I was like, crap, I was like, what do I do now? And I was like, and then I found all the guest groups on Facebook and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and I was like, this is insane. The sort of the size of the community that's out there is absolutely crazy. There are people who are just like have experienced everything mm-hmm. and you know, like you can literally find anyone and they have a story, and that's honestly the most significant thing to me is just like the ability to have others tell their story and for other people to learn from those stories is it makes me like just so happy to be able to have that ability to do so.
It's really humbling.
Exactly.
And then you're not only just enjoying it, you're using it to build businesses to help other people connect with their skills and to coach them and to support them and help them find their guiding star, I would guess, and just being able to shine, kind of like what your teacher did for you.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, my biggest passion right now is helping aspiring entrepreneurs become, you know, create their brand, their product, their service, whatever it is. And it is so like, it's just so transformative when you see someone take an idea they have and turn it into something. One of my friends actually, she, you know, texted me and she's like, I really need your help because I want to start a podcast. I want to start a brand, but I don't know how to do so. Mm-hmm. And we sat down like once a week for like 4 or 5 weeks and we created this whole amazing program for high school seniors to like, for her to give advice to them on like the college process.
Oh my gosh.
And she's having so much fun with it. And it's just, it is such a beautiful thing. It's like, it's so crazy to see like how that sort of went from, you know, just a small idea mm-hmm. to something else. And it's beautiful.
Well, it to an empire. Yeah, exactly. I always say empire, but then I think of like Star Wars. I'm like, I don't know. But we're going to go with it. We're going to make like a fashion empire. Okay. I like color. Music numbers. And you don't know me, but like, and also like delicious food, because normally I talk about food somehow in the show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, what's interesting is, you know, you mentioned, you know, I'm only 20. And I think what's fascinating is, and I'd love to hear your experiences of, if that's been an advantage or if it's ever harnessed or limited your business. So just because I think a lot of times, like when I was growing up, you know, you just get this message of, you're going to hire someone, you want someone who's older and more experienced. And, you know, there's a stereotype of what an expert looks like. And I think, especially with COVID, with the last few years, there's really like all of these glass ceilings are just being shattered. Yeah. And there's the resistance, or the rigidity maybe is a better word, of all of these people, all backgrounds, all gifts, all different ages, all different whatever, now can have a platform and share their gifts. Yeah. And I don't know if that is your experience, or if you've seen that where, oh, I'm only 20, you're only 20, what can you teach me? How to build an empire.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes both ways. I think it's been amazing to have all the, like, to be doing all these things as a young person because of the ability I have to sort of explore without many consequences. You know, I'm in college. Luckily, my parents are, you know, supporting me in my whole college journey, you know, so I have like my rent paid for, my groceries paid for, which I'm so, so, so grateful for. But that gives me the opportunity to, you know, not have to get a job or not have to, you know, work 40 hours a week, and that way I can build the podcast or the agency and stuff like that. But then also, it's like, it's that imposter syndrome of like, I'm only 20. Mm. Who the heck is going to hire me to, you know, do their social media? Like when there's, you know, I would say thousands of other social media agencies, at least in San Diego, that are run by, you know, 30-year-old women who have these like big clients and have done actually like, you know, like productive, like more, I guess not more productive work, but I guess, you know, have this portfolio that's longer than mine, right. You know? And so it goes both ways. And I mean, I am forever grateful that I started this journey so, so, so young, because it's given me a lot of opportunities I don't think that, you know, a 30-year-old could have. But also it's, you know, it's like, it's harder to sort of put yourself out there and say, yes, I'm doing this thing. You know, like, how can I help you when you're like, they're literally 10 years older than me, 20 years older than me, right. You know, and like, obviously they may know better than, you know, I do.
And it's interesting because like in the counseling world, I've experienced different things of, you know, you, when you leave grad school, I was younger and, you know, we had that conversation of what happens when you get clients who expect an older clinician or want someone of that certain age, or that, you know, they want 30 years in the field. And I remember my one professor said is, you just embrace who you are. Yeah. And you know, like, I'm not going to pretend to be a 60-year-old therapist. I'm like, I'm whatever age I'm like, if you want someone older, I'll do whatever I can in my power to help you. But could we also see if maybe I could help you now and see if there's something else?
Yeah.
And the one thing too that I love, and I always joke about this, one of my closest friends has a 15-year-old daughter. And I said, I always need a teenager in my life who's going to keep me hip, who's going, so like, I always look, you know, that you're 20. If you know, looking for a marketing person, it's like, that attracts me because it's so, I'm sorry, I'm like flipping on my words here, but it's so, everything just changes so quickly in social media. And, you know, I found as I've gotten not younger, will be the political way I'll say it. But my connection to certain social media things just naturally decreases. But other people, when they grow up, and it's so nice to have someone who's younger, what I appreciate is their wisdom, as they teach me things that I don't know about. Like, I mean, I grew up on Super Nintendo and Mario Brothers. Like, you know, now your generation is a little bit more of, you know, Snapchat and TikTok and, you know, Facebook and all those different things. if I'm running a business in 2021, I want to know that stuff.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, that's one of the advantages of someone who might be younger. And in addition to other things, but that's just off the top of my head that jumps to my mind.
No, absolutely. And I've had a few clients say that to me too. And they're like, we are so glad we went with you because of your age, because of your experience, you know, like you just know what's going on and what's trendy right now. And like, that's what we need. And I was like, yeah, I know, but some people don't, you know, I think it depends on the person, you know, because some people don't see it that way. They want that experience. They want like, oh, like, you know, this person worked with a really like high up, you know, like client or whatever it is, like, let me go with them instead of the person, you know, who maybe hasn't, you know, like who they don't know the clients that I've worked with and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it just depends on the person, but again, like, yeah, like you're totally right. Like people do see sometimes, you know, that like, oh, let me go with that younger person because they actually know what's going on.
Right. Well, and also what I'm thinking here is that you are creating the next generation of for women. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just, for example, I have a 9-year-old niece and a 12-year-old goddaughter, and I want them to have every opportunity. And just thinking, you know, they're going to have women like you to look up to and say, yeah, when I was 20, I didn't have to wait till I was 50 to do this or that. Like I didn't have to choose between any of this. And I just think that's amazing of breaking those glass ceilings and revolutionizing our world, which I think we need.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's why I haven't stopped. Like, that's why, you know, I didn't stop when things got hard. I didn't stop, you know, when I went up to college, because I know that there's, you know, like, obviously, like when you start building something, like it's super, super hard and you want to quit every single day. But I know that, you know, the impact that I'm going to make is going to be huge, and it's going to be something that I'm not going to regret. I'm not going to regret continuing to do this, you know, all of the days where I don't sleep, where I have meltdowns, like just everything like that. Like, I know it sounds so stupid, but I know it's all worth it. You know, right. I know like the pain and the anger and the frustration I'm going through now, it's like, it's going to blossom into something beautiful, and it's just going to change the world.
Right. Now, one thing that you mentioned, and I totally agree with you on that, and I love that, that you mentioned was imposter syndrome. And that's a phrase that I think we're seeing a lot more in mainstream. And you know, for a lot of people, they all have different definitions. I look at it a different way of self-doubt, insecurity, fear. How do you define imposter syndrome in your experiences?
Yeah. So for me, I think it comes up as like I am not as good as other people, right? So it's like, especially in the industry, you know, I look at people who, you know, I look at social media agencies also in San Diego where I am, you know, who have thousands and thousands of followers and who have these big name clients. And I'm like, how am I supposed to compare to them? You know, how am I supposed to be like, oh yeah, you could go with this person, but go with me instead, you know, like pick me, choose me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, how can I show myself as someone who is competent and capable when you have, you know, these people to sort of fight up against. So that's sort of like my biggest experience with imposter. That's sort of how I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, because like, the agency has been a thing for a year and a half. I really have only been working in social media for maybe 2.5 years, 3 years. And so it's like, I don't really have the longest track record. And so it's, you know, it's like, how can I sort of, you know, put myself up against these other people who have been doing this for 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And that I can appreciate that and validate it, because I think when you've started a business on your own, that doubt is right there. That comparison game is so vicious of, I'll never be good enough, I can't be that. And then there's this moment where you stop doing that and you realize, I don't want to replicate them, I don't want to be an imitation of them, I'm going to stand out on my own. Mm-hmm. And the people who resonate with that are going to find me. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've do all sorts of different business things, and you go through that insecurity. What if I fail? What if I do this? And we have to start asking ourselves, I think, what if I don't?
Yeah.
Or what if instead of I don't have 5 million followers, what if I just reach one person? Then it's worth it. Then that one person was worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's honestly the biggest like mentality shift I've ever had to make, because it's, you know, I started this whole journey of sorts to make an impact on someone. I didn't say I wanted to make an impact on millions and millions of people. It was just someone, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, I have gotten so many DMs of like that one person, and I'm like, okay, like, you know, but sometimes you forget about it and you're mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like I'm doing everything wrong or whatever. But it's like, if you look back at like those, you know, like whatever, like 5 DMs that I got of people being like, oh my gosh, like you inspire me, you changed my life. Like that is something that's worth mm-hmm. everything in my, you know, in my yeah. opinion. So
that's yeah. amazing. So tell me a little bit more, you know, about where you would like to take your businesses.
Yeah, there is so much I want to do. I am the biggest dreamer in the world. And so like, there's so much I want to do. My social media agency most likely will turn into a branding agency to help people like create their brands or rebrand their brands or whatever it is. Because that's what lights me up the most. I'm in the midst of writing a book right now, which is super exciting.
Yes.
A few ebooks as well.
Oh my God. Wait a minute. I'm going to like, this is online, folks. You heard it here. So yes, stay tuned. Yes, like yes. When you were like taking over the world, giving concerts, I can say I knew her once.
Exactly.
Back to the Flash, a little Friday night.
Yes.
Feels.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get into coaching at some point. I want to, you know, run my own live events. Like there is so much. I literally have a 35-year business plan already like mapped out and ready to go. So
I love that.
There's so much going on.
I love this. And I just wanted to share with you, Elizabeth messaged tonight and she said, "You were so wonderfully poised, Sammy. Congratulations on your success so far."
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And, you know, it's just so cool, you know, and I think like, you know, I was just thinking about what you shared a few minutes ago, that this young potential business person, you know, wants to reach out and help high school students. And that's one thing. And I don't know about your experience in high school. I would have died to have someone like that guide me through it, because I didn't have like my family was helpful, but they weren't fresh in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in my school, we didn't really have guidance counselors that guided us. So it was kind of like shooting in the dark. So to have someone yeah. sort of like a peer who's fresh in it, yeah. learning from you how to present that, like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And I'm honestly like, I definitely would have loved to have that in high school too, but I was really, really lucky where a lot of my teachers were like the biggest mentors for me. Even to this day, they are. I mean, I still talk to pretty much every single one of them.
Right.
But it's like, honestly, like my high school teachers, like they changed my life for the better. Like they're the reason I do every single thing that I'm doing today. You know, it's because of their guidance, honestly. But it's amazing to see how far I've come from the beginning of high school until now.
Right.
Because, you know, I did not think for a millisecond that I would be doing anything that I'm doing right now. You know, I thought I was going to stay in New York and go to school there. I thought I was going to become a teacher for all things, mm-hmm. you know, and work in a middle school and teach English or whatever the heck it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought like, I was really, really like, I was like, I have to play it small because I can't achieve anything bigger than that, you know? And then, you know, these these mentors and my friends and just people in my life who I surrounded myself with, like, opened my eyes to the big possibilities. They opened my eyes to allow me to see that I could, you know, fly 3,000 miles across the country, you know, go to school there, you know, meet amazing people in the industry who are my biggest mentors and, you know, friends, and just to be able to, you know, build something. It's funny every time I talk about it, like, people are like, oh my gosh, like, it's so inspiring you do this, and it's crazy. And it's like, I always have to say that, like, the whole process was not sunshine, rainbows, and butterflies. Like, it was, you know, tears and meltdowns and questioning. I mean, to this day, I literally had a conversation with my roommate last night, and I was like, I don't know if I want to continue school. Like, I don't know what I want to do yet in my life, you know, as I'm building these things. And, you know, it's like, I just, like, there's so much back and forth of me just fighting with myself and trying to figure things out. And it's like, this is what my reality is. You know, I can hop on Instagram and say, oh my gosh, like, you know, I've been working 14 hours, da, 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 like, you know, doing business and doing school and everything, I'm caught up and da, 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 whatever. And it's like, that's not reality. Like, reality is, like, yes, working 14 hours, but also stressing about how I'm not caught up in school and, like, yeah, how, you know, my business is, like, just not doing as well as I wanted to, and just all that stuff like that. So I think it's just so important to, you know, share that as well, because I feel like people don't really see that as much.
Well, I get that 100%, because they just see the end result in a way, or like the outer, they don't see when you created a business, they don't see the fears, they don't see the meltdowns, they don't see the hours spent on the phone, setting up bank accounts, learning these things, networking, all of that stuff, which, and I don't say that in any way like a negative or complaint, but it's really looking at the whole picture, because on top of that, you're trying to create this business and try to develop your brand and your focus, but then you're still doing everything else to pay your bills, to take care of yourself, to live, especially in a pandemic, and survive and deal with that stress and the craziness of everyday life. And, you know, I think sometimes of having these genuine, raw conversations of being successful doesn't mean you're not failing. It doesn't mean it's that if you doubt yourself, you're doing something wrong. That, I think, is when you get the best results. Because when you're in those moments of doubt or I don't know, shame or guilt or whatever, that's when you can really get some really good self-reflection. And I've been blessed, and it sounds just like you, of having really supportive people saying, it's okay to be in the mud, but you're not staying in the mud, because we know you can do more. And you're like, fine, I'll get up, but I won't like it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then just knowing to know, I loved what you were saying a few minutes ago, you know, starting small. That's really how I do a lot of projects. Because it's so easy, once again, when you get in that comparison game of, oh my gosh, this person does this and they travel and they do all this. But if you talk to them, they started small. They were doing the same thing most of us are doing, of networking, of hitting the pavement and doing all of this. And that's what made their adventures amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, then you just organically connect to other people. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we're talking about coaching and marketing and even therapy, it's just like, the more genuine and authentic you are, the richer that connection is to that person, whether it's one meeting or one counseling session or, you know, for years.
Yeah.
It's just because it's true. It's real. It's what's the word? Fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it you know, it sounds like, you know, the people who are coming in, who are finding you, are finding that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to jump topics for a quick second, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about New York for a minute.
Yes.
New York is represented tonight in the house. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So Where in New York? So I'm in Northern New York, so I'm an hour south of Montreal.
Okay.
So were you, you were like on the other side of the state?
I was 40 minutes north of the city.
Okay.
So I was in Westchester County.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Northern Westchester, you know, in the suburbs, you know, all the trees and the, you know, the
all right. Stuff. So here's the test. And this will be if you're in the North, North Country, you know what I'll be talking about. Did you ever refer to Albany as upstate New York?
Did I ever? Not really. Okay. No.
Because
I don't think I did.
Because if you know New York, so you have Manhattan and all of that part, and then like 3 or 4 hours, you have Albany, which is the capital.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not real North Country. Like, we're in the Adirondacks up here, folks.
Yeah, cows, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And ducks and all of that. Like, so it's so funny. And we have, at the local university, we have a lot of amazing students from Long Island in the city. And they're always like, oh, we thought Albany was the North Country. And then they see our winters.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, yeah, I think, honestly, because I, like, I've been to Buffalo a bunch, you know, and like all, I went through New York to Canada and stuff like that. And so I always really considered like everything above Albany, like upstate New York, because for me, I was like, oh, Albany's like 1 to 2 hours. Like, that's not that much. And I considered, you know, Westchester, central New York as well. And so I was like, all right, cool. Like Albany's, you know, just 1 hour. So it has to be central New York. So yeah, I don't think I ever said, I mean, I remember correcting so many people and they're like, oh my gosh, you live in upstate New York. And I was like, no, I was like, where is central? Like where, you know, like, upstate New York is like a whole different experience than where I live, you know? So it's like, that's yeah. Awesome.
It's a really diverse state and I don't think people recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me how you arrived in San Diego. Cause I would love to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So about 10, 11 years ago, my uncle decided to move to Los Angeles. He wanted to become a lacrosse coach. And obviously with the weather here in California, you pretty much can lead lacrosse all year round. And so he was like, I think it's just better for me to go to California and do lacrosse there. And so he has this amazing, amazing lacrosse company. And like he coaches like, I think it's like 5 or 6 teams. You know, it's an amazing thing. And we always used to come out here and visit him and, you know, obviously the beautiful weather would happen. And I was like, I kind of want to, you know, be there. Like, I kind of want to, you know, not have any more snow. I hated the snow, hated the snow. And I was like, love the fall. Don't get me wrong. Love the fall, but the winter
spring
was
is lovely.
Yeah. 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 The winter was the worst. And so I was like, maybe I'll, you know, like just look at schools in California. Cause I was the kid who in 6th grade, I was looking at colleges. I was like, I need to figure out right now where I'm going to go. That way, like I can just plan everything else out. And so I was looking for schools in California, for like a, you know, like an education major. And funny enough, I came across San Diego State, which is where I go now. And then the beginning of high school, I started looking for colleges under a Jewish studies major because I really wanted to become a rabbi at the time.
Oh, wow.
And the only colleges that I really like were attracted to in New York was Buffalo or NYU. And I was like, I don't really like the city. And I also don't really like the snow. So those options are out. And so I was like, all right, next option is out west. And so my options yeah. there were, I know, it's literally comedy. But my options out west were Arizona State, San Diego State, or Long Beach. And I visited Long Beach and I visited San Diego in the same week. And I just fell in love with San Diego State. At the time, my best friend was going to a local college, you know, in San Diego as well. And so I just figured that it just all worked out that way. And, you know, 2 years later, we're now here and we're, you know, we're loving life.
That's amazing. Now, so do you have family all over? Like, did you have any family that thought, oh no, you should stay in New York, or were they all happy that you went to the other side of the country?
Yeah, so I mean, they, I guess they were like, because I had taken a semester abroad to Israel my junior year of high school. And so they sort of like had that experience of like me being away for a semester and like, you know, stuff like that. So they weren't like, they honestly were just glad I wasn't going to Israel for college. And so they were, I guess they were happy that like I was going to be like closer to my uncle and stuff like that. And then actually this past August, my immediate family moved to LA as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so now they're in the state of California as well. So, you know, the only people who are really back home in New York are my grandparents. And so it's been a very interesting experience. So
now, you know, how far is LA from San Diego? Like, I've never been to California. It's on my list, but how far is that?
Usually it's like 2.5 hours. It's not too bad.
Okay. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
So I want to know more about this almost becoming a rabbi. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a beautiful part of your story and people want to know more. Like, I want to know more.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I, senior year of high school, I changed my major and like my future occupation 6 times in the matter of 4.5 months. I kid you not. So I came home from Israel my junior year. It was what, January of my junior year of high school. And I fell in love with Israel. I was obsessed with it. Like, I'm going to move there in 20 years from now. Like, that's just how it's going to go. And I knew I wanted to do something more than just become a teacher. Mm-hmm. At that point, I had been teaching in my local Hebrew school for 5 years at that point. And so I knew like the whole, like how teaching went pretty much. I knew I wanted to do something a little bit more. And then senior year, I was sort of like, you know, I had started the podcast and I was sort of doing all of that. And I was like, maybe I'll become a life coach instead, or maybe I'll become a therapist instead. And, you know, cause I love to, you know, have one-on-ones with people and talk to them and just, you know, chat and stuff like that. And then one day I just had this epiphany of like, a rabbi encapsulates every single thing, teacher, life coach, therapist, and it's under sort of like the Jewish lens as well. And so I was like, boom, done. I was like, there's a rabbinical school in LA. I'll go there after my undergrad. I was like, this is perfect. This is, you know, whatever. And then honestly, like, once the podcast was really going and I sort of was studying the other popular podcast, personal development podcasters, I was like, there's a whole future out there for me based off of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I kind of want to do that, you know? And so I started writing the book I'm currently writing right now, the end of my senior year of high school. And I was like, the reason now I'm going to San Diego is to live out my wildest dreams of becoming an entrepreneur. And I was like, I'm going to find like-minded people out there and I'm going to, you know, get involved in the industry and just do all that stuff like that. And that was sort of, you know, how I came to this point. It was very nerve-wracking and very confusing, mm-hmm. Because I was so like keen on becoming a rabbi and doing that whole process. But I was like, one day I looked at one of my teachers and I was like, I don't want to be stuck in an office for 8 hours every single day. Mm-hmm. I want to have the freedom to travel around the world and to be able to, you know, create my own hours and live my life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to do something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she sort of looked at me and she was like, well, you have a podcast going on, like you can create something with that. And I was like, you're right. Like, I mean, yeah, I was like, you know, I was like, yeah.
It's like, really those simple encouragers of like, you're already doing it. And you're like, oh, right. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm there. I was just like, you know what? Might as well. Like, you know, So that's sort of, you know, how the whole like entrepreneurship stuff came to be.
Well, I like energetically just want to like hug you because I just love it. Because everything you're saying, like, I can, like our background are like so different, but the overlapping is just so cool. For example, I grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where I was like, maybe I want to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved the community of the church. I loved, like my mom would sing in church. It was always just so amazing. You know, but then as I got older, I was like, it didn't feel right. You know, like I liked helping people. I liked that. It almost sounds like you have a similar experience of there's that love in you that just pushes you of just go here. And it's that gentle reassurance. I call, you know, like God's talking to me. Like that's what I just trust.
Yeah.
And I'll bring you the rest of the way. And every time I just like take that leap of faith, it just is like it's one more amazing adventure after another. And that doesn't mean it's always easy, like we were saying. And I think that's what probably makes you a really good coach and an entrepreneur of you're not sugarcoating this. You're not doing this fake, oh, I'll get the magic wand out. It's like, you're not going to sleep building this business. You're going to cry. You want to get it up, but I'm going to be in your corner, just like the people were, and saying, I believe in you and you're going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling someone the other day, I was like, I wish there was like a magic wand that I could just, you know, like just boom, done. Like I like, oh gosh.
I sometimes in therapy will break out in music, be like, bidi bidi bobbidi boo, magic a doula, bibbidi.
Yeah, literally.
They're like, they're like, really, Patrick? I'm like, listen, we got to keep it real here a little bit.
literally, yeah. And it's just like, yeah, sometimes like I just wish like, you know, I could just 2 seconds and like everything would be perfect, but it's not the case, you know.
And it's so cool that you were mentioning like going to Israel, which just sounds like it really changed your life. When I was younger, my dream was actually to become an English teacher.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know this, but then in 1995, 1996, when Hurricane Mitch hit Central America, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like ignited a whole thing in me that I never, because I almost didn't go. And then there was a God moment. It was like, you're going to Nicaragua, like a spot opened the last minute. And my parents were like, Nicaragua, really? And it was one of those moments of what changed my life, just like probably going to Israel for you, was of it shatters a lot of illusion that we grew up with in our own, not in a bad way, but just like what we know is ice cream, what we know is school, what we know is this. And then, oh my gosh, there's culture and language and struggles and hope. And this passion for life that I think we find when we go other places.
Yeah. Yeah. My sophomore year of high school, I took a service trip down to Nicaragua. And
what?
That was when, yeah. Yeah. We were down there for a week.
We're connected, Sammy. Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. And that was sort of when, you know, I got the travel bug. That was sort of when I was like, you know what? Like, I need to go and just experience other cultures and other communities. And, you know, that's why I was so pushed to go to Israel for a whole semester. Cause I was like, I need to go out there and just see what it's like, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny, in my family, there's some of us who travel and then others who don't. And so it's almost like a divide of like, how do you not travel? Like, how do you like, I don't even care where. I'll go literally almost anywhere. And, yeah. You know, but it's such an amazing opportunity when you travel because it enhances you. And then you learn. And then all of a sudden, when you're working with someone, you're like, oh my gosh, that experience helped me know this. And I can connect this. And it just becomes this amazing mosaic.
Yeah.
And it's just so magical.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. So if people wanted to reach out and work with you and hire you or like, you know, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm literally everywhere. So like, honestly, anywhere you can find me, like I will probably answer you. But my website is sammybeatrice.com. My Instagram is sammybeatrice and fashion your passion. So it's fashion letters you are passion. Twitter is sammy_beatrice. And I think that's it. Honestly, you can find all this, like everything.
Whoa. I'm stopping the train for a minute. Are you telling me that I'm on the TikTok and you're not?
Oh, yes. Okay. So, I honestly always forget. No. I know. My TikTok is at your passion agency.
I love that.
You could also find us on Instagram at your passion agency. But yes, I always forget because it's like, you know, it's the agency.
There's so much.
Like, yeah.
And you're tired and busy and creating an empire. So it's funny with the TikTok. So I do these little videos called Therapeutic Cooking with Patrick Monette.
I love that.
And it's like, I do it, for example, like I do it for myself. I'm like, oh, I got a like. But it's like, I don't know. I make the little videos and then I just like send them to people. It's fun. It's silly. And one of the things that I found is when I was in grad school, there was such this seriousness, and it's not like to take away the seriousness of counseling, but when I entered the field, there was like this gloom and doom. And going through my own experiences with mental health and different things, the healthier that I become or get, I want to be in that joy, and I want to live that life and use that for me to grow and to be there for other people. And I think finding different ways of adding a therapeutic humor to something can make, and normalizing people's journeys, which I think, you know, with these conversations, like you and I are from different backgrounds and everything. But first of all, we're like connected through Nicaragua, which by the food there's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you ever have a chance, like I have a friend down there. It's a complete tangent, but it's Friday Night Feels, so we're going to go with it. I'm trying to convince her to come to the States so we can open a restaurant, because she would just be amazing. Ooh. So stay tuned one day, post-COVID. Wow. Well, you're also in San Diego. You must have amazing food out there, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good.
I'm a little jelly. So all of the, and what I'll do also is for people who follow me on the Instagram, because we're hip like that, you can also follow her. That's what I like about Instagram. It's cleaner than other platforms. And what I like about it is, for example, if I look at your posts or other people's, you see what people are doing. It's really uplifting and supportive community, I find. At least the ones that come on my feed, that and fried chicken dipped in honey, which I don't know where that comes from. But anyway, I digress. But it's really, really cool to see what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to network, and you can send messages. It's really fun of just saying like, absolutely, Hey, what are you up to? So, and what I'll do, afterwards I'll post all the ways to get a hold of you, but then people can, if they have questions and stuff like that, they can follow you on that. So what is there anything else in your world that we haven't covered tonight? We've gone from international travels to college. Tell me about college. What's happening? Like, I'm out of the loop. So how are you doing? Are you sleeping enough? Are you getting enough? I feel like I'm going to be that therapeutic. I worry.
Yeah. I mean, online school is interesting. Definitely don't recommend. Not the most fun. Listen, last year, March, I had to basically move out of my dorm and move across the country in 24 hours. And from then, I just have been sort of just, you know, doing everything like online, lots of like busy work, honestly. A lot of classes have turned asynchronous, which like means you don't get like that, you know, sort of like connection with your professor, and like you don't have as much like comfortability, like ask questions and stuff like that. So it's very interesting. But I'm very glad that we're going to be in person next year. Okay. It's like a like hallelujah moment, honestly. But you know, I'm at this point, I'm just trying to get through last month, wrap it up, and you know, start a new next semester.
Yeah. So. When it's, you know, when you mention that, I'm so glad, you know, I'm just speechless of how hard it is for students and teachers and educators on all level. And I just commend everyone who's just trying to survive it, and just all of the tireless, and I have lots of friends in higher education and all different levels of just, you just see what everyone's going through. So I'm just so glad that you're making through this, and you have amazing supports. And I just applaud everyone in the education system of all levels of what you've gone through. I remember that, I'll never forget this. So last March, that was the semester before the semester started, I was teaching at the local university. I made the decision to step away so I could work on other projects. And of course, that's when I have like this amazing engaged class. And the students were like, you know, the discussions, and we would just take these, you know, amazing conversations. And then right before spring break, I'm just about to hand the midterms back, and one of my students just interrupts class and saying, school is closed, we all have to leave. And it was just this moment of dread of like, we just looked at each other and none of us knew what was happening. Yeah. And then everything transitioned to online, and it was just so sad to lose that connection, because they were getting to know me, I was getting to know them and all their backgrounds, and you know, everything was shut down for so long, you just lost that, you know. It was more just like, we just wanted to get the semester done with at that point. But then luckily through time, when you went back into community a little more, I would run into some of the students, and it was just like these little gifts of time of like, oh my gosh, how are you? Like, you wanted to just hug each other. Like, you're okay. Are you okay? Is your family okay? Like, it's so good to see you. I miss class. But it was like, that was my last semester of teaching at the university. It was just like, I guess I'm going to go out with a bang when a pandemic hits, you know. It'll be part of my story when I know.
Yeah. I mean, like when I came back in August to California, it was like, it just felt so good to be back. I mean, you know, like I saw my best friend for the first time in 6 months, you know, and I was like, I did not think we would make it to this point. You know, and it was just like, it just felt so good. And it was just crazy. Like, it's so fascinating to me, because my plane ride, like in last March, when I was getting on the plane to go back to New York, I like didn't wear a mask. I didn't do anything. Like, I had no idea what was going on.
I know.
And it's so mind blowing. Like right now, like, you know, like it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I'm very excited for things to just sort of move along, and, you know, us to get back to some new normal of, you know, like better things.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you know, for your businesses, the real integration of technology and all of this, it just enhances everything that you're doing, because it erases the boundaries of location and traveling. So you can have clients and work with people all over the world, which I foresee you doing. I just have a feeling that I'll be in your future. Just a little.
I mean, I work with clients all over the country right now.
Yeah.
You know, and if it wasn't for COVID, like my social media agency wouldn't even be a thing. Right. You know, because I had sort of like, not the time, I guess, necessarily, but because, like, you know, clubs weren't as like, you know, weren't going as much and stuff like that. Like, it was easier for me to build something new. And so, you know, and just my first client was one of my good friends, and she was like, she just like was having a really rough time with the whole COVID situation. And she was like, I just need someone to manage my social media, because she's a motivational speaker. And I was like, I guess I can give it a shot. Like, you know, I'll try it out. I'll figure it out. And that's just sort of how it went. And, you know, that's like, I think if we were still in like COVID times, I mean, not in COVID times, like that wouldn't have been the same situation. It wouldn't have happened that way. So
yeah.
And it's interesting. I'm honestly grateful for it. Yeah.
And that's where, you know, you look at the blessing and the, you know, the hard times, because I never would have started Friday Night Feels. Exactly. And I remember when it was shut down, when everything was like, I felt so lost and plugged, because I didn't have any, you know, like I wasn't going out. It was just like this energetic blockage. And so, you know, talking to different people, like, well, why don't you just start this? And then when I did, it just, it was like, oh my God, like I feel alive again. I feel connected. It was fun. Like, it was just something like Friday Night Feels, like it just became something. And then, you know, it's one of those things of, is anyone listening? And then all of a sudden I'm like, I went into a cafe once and I saw someone that I've known for years, and they're like, oh yeah, I see your Friday Night Feels show. I'm like, oh my God, I was recognized in a cafe. Donuts for everyone. But it's just, it was like,
yeah,
it was just like the best feeling of just like, hey, I'm so glad and I hope it helps. And they said, yeah, it's really funny, it's good, you know, on Friday nights when we can't go out anymore, it's just kind of nice. Or like,
yeah,
driving, like I can listen on Spotify and just kind of like check in. And so it's just been an amazing adventure. So before we end tonight, I have one last question for you.
Yes, for sure.
What is one piece of advice in your expertise that you would give anyone listening to?
Ooh. I think my biggest thing, besides like just start and like just go after the thing, I think my biggest thing is don't forget to live your life. Because I think that it's so easy to get caught up in work or to get caught up in, you know, just the stressors of life, especially during this time. But don't forget to do the things that you've always wanted to do. Don't forget to make the bucket lists and cross them off. Don't forget to, I guess, honestly, like, it's this big thing now, but like, romanticize your life. Like, do, like, become the main character of your life and like do the things like that bring you the most joy. Oh, and it sounds so cliche, it really does.
But it has some truth. It has a lot of truth.
So true. And it can change your life.
Right.
You can find things you never knew you wanted to pursue or you wanted to just like enjoy and that you actually enjoy. And so that's, I think that's my biggest. I literally preach it to everyone. And like, because I used to be the person who like, I had to have every single second of every single minute planned out. But now that I've become sort of more spontaneous, it like, it feels better, you know, and it just feels like
great.
I can just like, you know, do things off the whim and like have fun.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. That's so beautiful. That's beautiful advice. Sammy, it has been such an honor and a privilege to have you here. I am so glad that you made time to come on a Friday Night Feels and hang out with us tonight. And I hope you come back in the future. And everyone, I'll be posting your information. So if you or anyone you know needs an amazing mastermind to help you help your business blossom, like we have a connection here now. So
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And remember, I'm just saying this as someone who cares. Lots of water, lots of rest, good food, and good luck with the rest of your semester. I'm sure you'll be amazing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Who's been listening and who will listen, thank you so much for, you know, once again, supporting me in Friday Night Feels in last year and for whatever adventures come in this year. I hope you all stay safe and have an amazing and magical weekend. And I'll talk to y'all soon.